Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back on CBS Sports Radio, Ken Carmen until 2 a.m. Eastern, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Coming up in a bit, it's time to do what's right by everyone and trade Eli Manning to Jacksonville. Right now, joining us on the show, a guy who knows more about college basketball than, I mean, unless Coach K is listening, he knows more about basketball than anybody listening, and certainly the guy talking to him right now. Jeff Goodman joining us on the show, basketball analyst at Stadium. Follow him on Twitter, at Goodman Hoops. Jeff, thanks for joining us tonight.
Well, Coach K does think that the FBI probe and all the trials and everything is a blip, is what he called it. And I'll tell you what, it is not a blip. It may be a blip in a sense that there's not a ton of media covering it. It's not on TV, so it's not getting as much attention as maybe we thought. And there's three anonymous guys that are right now on trial, you know, not big time coaches, but it's not a blip.
I'll tell you this, Jeff. I'm willing to let the process play out. I have to. It's supposed to be a court of law, the whole deal, things like that. But it's hard for me to believe that Zion Williamson decided to go to Duke for free after what we hear. Your thoughts?
We don't know. So it is really hard because, again, here's the thing that could happen, right? Certainly Zion Williamson could have gotten something from a financial guy, a shoe company guy, without Mike Krzyzewski knowing exactly what went on. Or he might have chosen Duke just because of the fact that he felt like Duke was the best place to get to the next level and have his draft stock be as high as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, there's something that could have went on there. All I would say about the whole situation is, with what came up in the course of the testimony, with the course of the trial, I think if you're the NCAA, you have to investigate. You have to investigate all of these allegations that came up, you know, from Oregon to Creighton to Kansas to Zion Williamson. All these, and there's more. I mean, listen, Joe Pasternak, former assistant in Arizona, who's now the head coach at UC Santa Barbara, had one on him. There were a lot, and we don't know if they're true or not. We don't know if there's proof or not, but I think the NCAA better get off it. You know what? And start to investigate and do what it should and try to figure some of these things up instead of just relying on the FBI and the prosecution.
Well, because we're in a different era here, Jeff, where, you know, when I was young and we've been talking about one and dones and things like that, where, yeah, you had guys that would play for 3-4 years, and you get to know them and you get to love them and you get to hate them. And it was really good for the rivalries and it was really good for college basketball. If we have this happen here, and I know that Adam Silver has talked about the G League and the changes there, and I want to ask you about that coming up in a bit, but how much damage if we find out that this is all true, that the Adidas thing is true, that Williamson is true, the whole thing, how much damage could this do to college basketball, or has really the damage been done? Because we're in an era where these are kind of professionalized amateur athletes where they just know their worth and they want to do what it takes to get them from point A, high school, to point B, the NBA.
I think the damage will be done if you see some big boy programs with their fingerprints on some of these allegations. If it's, you know, some of the smaller, you know, no disrespect to like the Creightons of the world, but if it's some of those programs, I don't think it'll hit as hard. But I think if you get, you know, Zion Williams involved, a Kansas involved, then I think people start to really pay attention. But, you know, if not, right now, again, you've got three guys. You wouldn't know them if they were in your house right now. Jim Gatto, formerly of Adidas, Merle Cote, a former Adidas consultant, and Christian Dawkins, who worked for agent, NBA agent Andy Miller, on trial. And that's why, again, you can say it's a blip because these guys are fairly anonymous within the general public, but within the basketball world, listen, it's not a blip because my phone's blowing up every single day over the last 3 weeks. And I know Dan Wetzel, who's been at that trial every single day, his phone's blowing up. And Jeff Borzello of ESPN and Mark Slaybaugh, their phones are blowing up. So it's not a blip within the industry.
Jeff Goodman joining us on the show, at Goodman Hoops on Twitter. So according to the attorney for the Adidas representatives who are on leave, Bill Self knew about the payments to D'Souza. Can you clarify anything of what's going on? Because these are closing statements that hasn't been necessarily put down yet in full by the lawyers or by the court, correct? Is that correct?
Yeah, and the jury hasn't heard him. So,
yes.
You know, listen, we don't know. Again, this comes from one of the attorneys of the defendants, Jim Gatto, saying that, hey, listen, Bill Self knew. Now, TJ Gasnola, who was the one who actually allegedly paid Billy Preston, and he had dealings with Silvio D'Souza's mentor, guardian, denies that Bill Self knew. So, again, unless you have proof, I think this is going to be up for the NCAA to look into, see what they can find out. And there is some communication between the Kansas assistant coach, Curtis Townsend, you know, to some degree. It certainly looks like he had some knowledge of Zion Williamson and trying to make it happen in terms of whatever needed to be done. He said he would get it done. Now, what that means exactly, we don't know. They never got Zion Williamson. So, again, I think it's going to be hard to get proof. But, you know, some schools might make a move with a coach just based on that type of conversation. Some schools may say, hey, listen, we need to see more information before we do anything, suspend them, fire them, anything like that.
So if Bill Self, you just said suspend them, fire them, things of that. So it just kind of out of the air?
Well, I don't think Bill Self. I think it'd be more Curtis Townsend, the assistant at Kansas. I don't – listen, I think, you know, to me, I think you're looking at some of these head coaches, whether it's a Bill Self, whether it's a Sean Miller, whose assistant, Book Richardson, will go on trial April 22nd, or Andy Enfield from USC, some of these guys. Unless their fingerprints are on this, I could see them getting suspensions, the head coaches, for kind of their failure to monitor or whatever the term is, basically the failure to run your program, and people underneath you, you know, did things that were illegal or against NCAA rules is the better way of putting it. I think they could get suspensions, but I don't see any of those guys with what's come forth so far, any of the big boy head coaches being fired or anything like that.
Jeff Goodman joining us on the show. So Adam Silver at the same time here comes out with this idea of the G League, where a kid who wants to go straight to it can get, a select few can get like $125,000 on a contract for a year. Can you take us through the ins and outs of it? And then I want to ask you whether or not you think it's a good idea.
So basically, you know, a kid that wants to go straight out of high school will have a chance. Instead of, you know, right now they can't go to the NBA out of high school until they're 19 and a year removed from their graduating class, they would have to go overseas. And a few players have done it, or they just work out by themselves. Mitchell Robinson did that last year. He was a second-round pick. He's a rookie with the Knicks this year. A kid named Darius Baisley decided to do that with the help of an agent, and he's just working out on his own this year. He was going to play in the G League but decided not to. He was set to go to Syracuse, a McDonald's All-American. You know, players like Brandon Jennings, Terrence Ferguson, guys have done it in the past, gone overseas, most of them because, frankly, they weren't going to make it academically. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Or Emmanuel Mudiay went because he was worried about a combination of academics and that the NCAA was looking into him, and he didn't know if he'd be you know, cleared to play college basketball. So that's kind of the deal now. I like it. I like it, and maybe that's wrong for somebody to say, you know, taboo for a college basketball writer, which I primarily am, but I cover the NBA as well. Mm-hmm. I like it. It gives kids options. And if a kid doesn't want to go to school, Ken, why should he have to go to school? If he doesn't want to sit in a classroom and he hates school and he doesn't think he's cut out for it, he can now go to the G League and make $125,000 a year and not have to go overseas, where, frankly, it's really difficult for a kid to do that's maybe 18 years old, not ready, not well-adjusted enough to go overseas and be able to handle that type of life at 18 years old. So now he can be in Reno. He can be in Canton, you know, some of these G League teams. And, yeah, listen, it's not a great life. It's bus rides, not a lot of people watching. But he could still make $125,000 and have another way of – another avenue to go about things.
Because I am thinking of this. You get a kid like – could R.J. – like R.J. Barrett. Let's go with another Dookie.
Sure.
Could he take that 125 and end up going to, like, the G League?
He could have. He wouldn't. Oh. I mean, he's not the type that would. He's not
okay.
the type of kid you could see doing it. But, like, listen, like Darius Bazley probably would have done that instead of just sitting out right now. You know, the big thing that he felt like or his agent told him was, you know, probably not worth it. You're probably going to hurt your stock more than help it by playing in the G League. What if you don't put up any numbers? So instead, we're just going to have you work out this year like Mitchell Robinson did last year. So, you know, instead, I think there'll be some, you know, maybe a couple guys a year that are more at-risk academic guys or guys that are listening to agents that are telling them, go to the G League for $125,000 a year, put up numbers. Now, the one thing they're not going to get is their brand. Nobody's going to know who the hell they are coming out of the G League for the most part because nobody goes to G League games.
Well, because that was my next guess because I'm thinking, you know, I'm in a place that will probably be in tank mode before we know it. And you get a guy like, again, just using him or Bazley, like you said, if they end up at Canton, if I'm a guy down at Stark County in Canton, Ohio, and I'm thinking, well, like, you know, I'm a Cavs fan, and, well, what the hell? Let's go see this kid. Let's go see what it, like, could it help out the G League a little bit more?
Definitely.
Like, because, like, big basketball fans watch the Summer League now more than they ever have. Maybe they'll watch a little more G League.
1,000%. If you could start to get some dudes in the G League that people are going to say, like, all right, he's going to be a lottery pick next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you will get some interest in it. And that, listen, that's the reason Adam Silver's doing this as much as anything is try to build up the G League and, you know, create some interest in it because right now it's irrelevant for the most part. Nobody cares. Again, nobody goes to most of the games. So if you can, you know, if you can bring in some elite level talent. And maybe you bring in two guys next year. And then the year after that, those two guys turn into four or five. And then you increase the salaries from 125 to 250. And then maybe you start to get some of these guys. I don't know. But certainly it doesn't look like Adam Silver's helping the NCAA all that much here because, again, I think he's going to take some guys away from college basketball that otherwise would have been there kind of by default because, again, they didn't want to go overseas.
Does that help college basketball then?
In a way it does just because, again, if you don't want to be there, how invested are they? But there's a lot of kids that play. Listen, they go to school for one semester and then they're done. You don't have to go the second semester because if you know you're gone – it doesn't matter. When that second semester starts, you're eligible through March anyway. So you don't care about that second semester. You're going to bail out right after the NCAA tournament in March anyway. So does it help college basketball? Probably not. Overall, probably doesn't help them. But I don't think it'll hurt it that much.
Jeff Goodman joining us on the show, basketball analyst for Stadium. Final question. If someone spits in your face, do you have to fight them?
Listen, you got the right person to talk to or the wrong one to talk to in this. I'm not the biggest Rondo fan and never have been. If you ask anybody, I lived here in Boston. I still do. And I was kind of I was the guy that was always not anti-Rondo, but I just was never the biggest Rondo fan because he's pretty arrogant. And I thought he was overrated. You know, played with some great players here in Boston, obviously Hall of Famers, three of them. That helped him. But I'm not a big Chris Paul guy either. You know, a lot of people within the league will say Chris Paul and the word phony in the same sentence. So Rondo and Chris Paul, put him in a steel cage match. I'll watch that. I will watch that. I mean, I think Rondo probably comes out on top in that one, though.
Does it say anything about LeBron and his relationship with Rondo that he grabbed Chris Paul and got him out of the way?
He loves Chris Paul. That's his.
Yes,
I mean, Chris Paul will like follow LeBron anywhere. So
except for the same team,
kind of weird. Yeah, it was kind of weird. Like, dude, you're going to go put your arms around Chris Paul when Rondo's your teammate? And I don't know. I mean, it didn't surprise me one bit when I saw LeBron go and try to take care of Chris Paul. It did. Like, I for years have thought LeBron would end his career playing with Chris Paul.
Well, there's still time. Of course, they're running out of it. Jeff, thank you so much for the time. I do appreciate you joining us. Hope to do it again, my friend. All the best.
Definitely, definitely. Thanks for having me, Ken. I appreciate it, and we'll talk again soon.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the Ken Carmen Show. Who's trending up? Who's sinking down? It's time to find out on Three Up, Three Down with Ken Carmen here on CBS Sports Radio. Who's up?
Jim Harbaugh and Michigan all of a sudden in the driver's seat of the Big Ten. You get a week off, if I'm not mistaken, and then you get Penn State coming to town, which that's not going to be an easy one. A couple of cupcakes, Rutgers, Indiana, and that at Ohio State. And I know a lot of people, and Hickey knows, I've been saying it for a year, if you were going to get them, this is the year to get them. And a lot of people have that stealing feeling all of a sudden after that loss to Purdue, that big beatdown that Purdue laid on Ohio State, which will eventually bring us to who's down.
Who's down?
Tell you what, Urban Meyer. You got Nick Chubb. You got Nick Bosa, who's decided to take off. Which, is there anything that's more fake? Go with me on this. Is there anything more fake than the fake outrage by sports talk radio show hosts at those who are fake outraged about Nick Bosa getting out of Ohio State and going to the NFL? Go with me on this. You have nobody, well, like one guy from Rivals, but really nobody who's going after Nick Bosa for leaving Ohio State early. But you tune in sports radio, you tune on TV, you see, I can't believe people are going after Nick Bosa for making a decision that was right by him and his family. Who? Who? Who was it? I want to know. Well, there's people out there saying it's selfish. No, everybody's saying it's selfish. It is selfish. He should do that. You should make that selfish decision. You're a top 10 pick, maybe even a top 5 pick. Yes, you should go. There's nothing holding you back. And who wants to sit in their locker room? So if Nick Bosa is supposed to be back and could be back by the Michigan game for Ohio State, you're telling me he's to stand in that locker room and be the missing link if his team goes out there and gets his ass handed to him? No. And you can make an argument that, well, he should be with his football team. These are professional amateurs. These are guys who are at an extra level. So if you wanted to talk about this at Coastal Carolina, or if you wanted to talk about this at App State or Northwestern or some of the other places out there, you go right on ahead. But at a school like Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, I would throw into that mix. You're a professional amateur, meaning you're getting yourself to that school to go on to the next level. So no, I don't take anything away from Nick Bosa. I take away from those who are making the false argument and certainly an equivalency that people are upset at Nick Bosa. No one's upset at Nick Bosa. People at Ohio State aren't even upset at Nick Bosa. This is what you're supposed to do. Next.
Who's up?
The Chargers. Everybody's just loving Kansas City. And why not? They're up 45-10 over the Bengals, who are not a bad football team. Kansas City's doing fantastic. The offense is just rip-roaring. Patrick Mahomes looks like the real deal. He throws with his left. He throws with his right. He throws on the hop. He is the sensation of the NFL so far throughout this year. But there's another team in the West, and that's the Chargers, a team that's ripped off how many in a row now? Four in a row, and are now out to 5-2, and one on the road, and then one on the pond over in the United Kingdom by the time they come back home to Los Angeles. Anthony Lynn's got them ready. The grand old man of Philip Rivers has them going. They're the best story that no one's talking about in 2018. Next.
Who's down?
The Chargers, because I'll talk about the Chargers, but no one seems to care about them, including people in their own hometown, including the NFL, who's wondering whether or not they're viable in a city like Los Angeles. Within the next 10 years, Dean Spanos needs to do what's right and either move this team back or find a way to sell this team and move it back to San Diego or somewhere else, because it doesn't seem that Chargers fans or LA is wanting of the Chargers. I know that's a city that's supposed to be of winners you have two teams that are winning. People like the Rams, they're not down with the Chargers. Next.
Who's up?
My God. Matt Campbell. The words that are being said about him and Lincoln Riley right now. And I'm telling you, as of today and as of last week, mark it, Sean McVay, the most dangerous man in the NFL. Because all these owners, the owner in Cleveland, I would say the owner in a host of other places, are looking at, man, Sean McVay's fantastic. He's so young. He's so brilliant. It's this changing of the guard of the NFL. I want to be the next big thing in the NFL. I want to be the next fun offense in the NFL. Let me go get my own version of Sean McVay. And that's scary, because if you get a guy like that and it doesn't pan out, you have holy hell on your hands. Because there's only so many guys who are sub 35 years old who can still hold the fever of his football team. And Sean McVay will be one of the first ones to tell you. He gets a hell of a lot of help from the grand old man in Wade Phillips. But for Lincoln Riley and Matt Campbell, where I'll lump them all together, Albert Breer was talking about them being right at the top of the list where people go and see how they work their deals, how they work what they're doing with their camps. They love the way they're bringing these guys around, and all of a sudden, it's a conversation. Can they be the next ones, the next young guns, to go on up to the NFL? With Lincoln Riley and his connection to Baker Mayfield, with Matt Campbell and his connection to Northeast Ohio, it is certainly a possibility. Next.
Who's down?
Stephen Avery. Now, I don't know if Hick's going to get upset with me. I don't know if Alicia's going to get upset with me. I'm not trying to give anything away. I haven't seen season two. I'm just going to point it out. You can do as many seasons of Making a Murderer as you want. You really can. It's never going to take away from the fact that Stephen Avery had a bonfire going on right outside his own home and I guess didn't know what it was. They're burning a body right outside in your front yard. I think you're going to know. I don't care where you live. You can live in a trailer in the middle of nowhere in rural Wisconsin, or you can live right in the middle of Beverly Hills. If somebody has a bonfire less than 100 feet away from your home, you're going to know. If someone's burning a body less than 100 feet away from your home, you're certainly going to know. And all this stuff about how he's a lovable character. This guy threw a cat in a bonfire. You don't think he's capable of killing somebody? Wake up. Brendan Dassey, I'll listen to that. He might not. I'm serious, and I'm not even making a joke. He might not be able to stand that trial. He might not be viable for that. But Stephen Avery, oh, he's such a nice guy. He's misunderstood. Threw a cat in a bonfire. He's not a good guy. And I'll watch. Netflix can have as many seasons as they want to. Dude did it. All right? He did it. That is three up, three down. Ryan, do you have any objections to what I just said? Hick? Hick's not going to talk on the microphone? Okay, wonderful. All right, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Coming up next, all right, Hick's not going to say anything. Brad Hopkins going to join us. SiriusXM NFL, former Oiler, former Titan. What's to happen if there's a change with an NFL head coach in Mike Vrabel? Was he wrong to go for the gusto today? We'll find out from him.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
Back on CBS Sports Radio, Ken Carmen until 2 a.m. Eastern, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Our next guest, boy, he's had a very action-packed 48 hours. Brad Hopkins joins us, former Oiler, former Tennessee Titan, current host, SiriusXM NFL. Brad, thanks for joining us tonight, and you were at the Purdue-Ohio State game yesterday where your son caught three catches for 37 yards and a 49-20 beatdown and an upset.
Yeah, he was actually pretty effective, and it was just a great win for the program, really. When you look at, you know, some of the historic situations that have happened in Ross State Stadium, I remember looking down at a fan can and saying, you know what, this might be, you know, the most historic win in the program's history. Just when you look at, you know, the number two team with a lot of momentum that hadn't been beat to that point, came into Ross State with a lot of confidence and ultimately ended up getting the pace taken away from them early on.
Well, you see the way things started out for them, and just an offer to start the year. And, you know, a lot of people like Brom, a lot of people like what he had been doing last year. And then it starts off on such a down note, and now they've really started chugging along. Is this just a taste of what he could do at a school like Purdue?
Absolutely. I think that when you look at how the season started, with obviously a divisional opponent that you know, means a lot to start the game. It was on national television. I think game day was there in the house. and to kind of really lose the game in the dramatic fashion that they did, you know, left a bitter taste in their mouth. Then they went on to lose two more, one of which they really shouldn't have lost, I think, to Eastern Michigan. But yet and still, this team hung in there. They still believed in what Jeff was preaching to them. And ultimately, they were able to put it together on the grandest stage, having game day come back to Purdue and actually, you know, put together a stellar performance, you know, in front of the nation.
Brad Hopkins joining us on the show. Well, I'm certainly pulling for him for the rest of the year, Brad. I got to tell you, and it's not just because your son's on the team, but that's an added bonus. I'll tell you that right now. Brad Hopkins joining us on the show. So a wild week seven, as it tends to be. Every single week's been nuts. And we're hearing a couple of rumors right now about Hugh Jackson with the Cleveland Browns. I just want to run past you here. Darryl Ryder out of 92.3, the Fan in Cleveland, reported that they're meeting tonight and a meeting of the minds, and we could see some red alert type stuff. That was his quote. When you change out a coach in the middle of the season, what does that do to a football team?
Absolutely nothing. I mean, in my opinion, absolutely nothing. I mean, wow. There may be if there's a situation where it has been so egregious, the relationship between the head coach and his team, then it will be a welcome, you know, situation. But unless you're hearing guys that are just grumbling about the relationship, they basically don't feel that he is someone that is in control there and is ultimately not getting the job done, then it'll be easier for them to make that transition. But I haven't heard that from the guys. You know what I'm saying? Of course, I'm not in that locker room, Ken. I don't know, you know, specifically what's being said and what that relationship is like. But what we can see from the outside, it's not toxic. So basically, when you switch up the situation like that, that's for the fans. I mean, I'm watching television right now on Sunday Night Football with fans just tired of, you know, the mediocrity that has surrounded this team. But I think that this year they need to look at this differently, because we do see growth from the Cleveland Browns. You know why? Because they should be upset that the Browns lost in Buccaneers land. But this is a team that picked first in the draft like the last two or three years. So why should we have that expectation? Because the team is better, and it's admittedly better. They've already doubled the win total so far. They're not even halfway through the season.
Well, you know, Hugh Jackson was, what, 1-31 coming into this year. If they were going to make a change, should the Browns have made a change then this last offseason?
The Browns should have made a change when they were 1-20. I mean, don't you think that trigger should have been pulled a long time ago? But in fact, he was the actual problem.
Can't argue against it, no.
Yeah, I think that some of the issues can have already been answered. But, you know, this is like a fine wine. And unfortunately, people are so used to the instant stuff that when it does take a little bit of time for it to, you know, to kind of age and become at least that tasteful product that we know is going to sell, you know, sell to the consumer, you know, we're not willing to wait for that moment. But when you've got Baker Mayfield, who obviously adds another dimension to that offense, they drafted Myles Garrett, they drafted the Ward kid out of Michigan. These guys are ultimately playmakers for that defense that will get turnovers and put it back in the hands of Nick Chubb and DJ Duke Johnson, the guy that led them in rushing last year. This team is starting to be balanced on both sides of the football, but it's going to take a little bit of time for us to really legitimately think about the Browns being a contender.
Brad Hopkins, former NFL, current host on SiriusXM NFL, joining us on the show. Well, for Baker, and you just mentioned a rookie quarterback, this type of change happens early. You said it didn't have an effect on the team, but could this have an effect on him and his maturation?
I know that Baker Mayfield has experienced a lot of success, but the guy came, he had to pull himself up by his bootstraps to have that success. Sure, he's a Heisman Trophy winner, but this is a guy that also had to transfer to a couple of different schools to find that comfort level, you know, to be able to be considered one of the best quarterbacks in the game. So he's used to kind of being a guy that has been an underdog, you know what I'm saying, that no one has really, you know, really got behind. But when some people are making the analogy between he and the great Drew Brees, there's something to that. This kid's a playmaker, and innately, Ken, he's a leader. Players gravitate towards not only his ability, but his personality, his style, his competitive nature. And that ultimately is going to spark something else, and not only, you know, himself, but other teammates.
We've seen the ups and downs, Brad. Brad Hopkins joining us on the show from these rookie quarterbacks. Baker took it on the chin last week, better this week, even in a loss. Sam Darnold was fantastic last week. This week, not so much. What can you really glean? Because guys like me, we love to say, we told you so. 7 weeks into this thing, but, hey, I didn't play the game, Brad. I've never been in the locker room. Tell me what's what with a rookie.
Well, the thing is, though, you when you take a gamble and commit yourself to one of these, you know, these high draft picks, yeah, there's going to be some aches and pains that come along with the excitement that you know potentially is there, or they wouldn't have been taken that high, right? I kind of liken it to like a big block or something, you know, big old sloppy V8. You know, ultimately, you know, when that rascal gets tuned up and really has all the right pieces, the carburetor, the right heads, the thing that's going to make it really be that high power car that can get down that quarter mile track in about, you know, 9 seconds or something. It takes a minute or two for that motor to really be put together and spark like it's supposed to. But the potential is there. So I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm going to wait and see what this team looks like, maybe with a couple of years of maturation on a Baker Mayfield, on some of the other assets that are young draft pieces. But unfortunately, with all this conversation about Hugh Jackson's exit, I'm not sure he's going to be around to reap the benefits of what he helped put together.
Brad Hopkins joining us on the show, former NFLer, current host, SiriusXM NFL. Philadelphia, are they having a bit of a Super Bowl hangover?
That's a good question. I think that really kind of like what Doug was talking about today, no one believing in them, that's the comfortable position they like to be in. It may be fabricated at this point, but then again, I think they had to have expected the bullseye proverbially to be on their backs, you know, at the beginning of the year, because you won the Super Bowl last year, albeit you did it with this underdog role persona, you know what I mean, to where really no one really focused on you. But it's different when you win the big show. You know, so I think that it's ultimately hard for a team to kind of be in that position, understand and be comfortable in that position to be able to repeat. But nowadays, it is a lofty goal to think about winning back-to-back Super Bowls, but it does put a lot of pressure on a team that just won it.
What's going on with Dak Prescott?
Well, think about this. I mean, if you're not trying to do too much, you know, especially in a couple of instances, I mean, who thinks that Dak Prescott's going to fumble on the one-yard line and have a guy scoop it up and score? You know what I mean? But then again, think what he did after that. Put his team right back in a position to win, right? Went down, put seven more on the board after giving them the seven, right? And then ended up driving them down, at least position-wise, enough to make a field goal palatable. I think it was 47 yards, which would have been good had, you know, they had not had the issues with the long snapper, you know, messing with the ball. So ultimately, yeah, you can say that there's a lot of issues that are maybe surrounding this team, but it's not talent, and it's certainly not the quarterback position.
Brad Hopkins joining us on the show. Well, could it be Jerry Jones on down? Because I know a lot of people go after Jason Garrett, and I'm thinking, well, Jason Garrett's always standing there in the media. He'll put blame on himself, but how much is he willing to do, or how much is he able to do if Jerry Jones is always going to be lording over his shoulder?
Yeah, I guess there's always something to be worried about, and we've been dealing with that situation ever since we were kids, right? You know, the helicopter dads. You know what I'm saying? Ultimately, that's what Jerry Jones is, the ultimate helicopter dad, especially when it comes to his head coaches. But at the end of the day, Jason Garrett just does what? He wants his players to just do their job. Nothing more, nothing less. And maybe sometimes Jerry, in his prognostication about the greatness of his team, puts more pressure on the guys to be at that level. And it does clarify the dysfunction sometimes. But at the end of the day, Jason Garrett's a good coach. He's a great coach. He knows exactly what it takes to win. And when you get the right players in mind that can, you know, do those things similarly, especially when you come to, like, you know, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, the players that we know that they've drafted lately that can make plays, it'll come together.
Do you agree with Mike Vrabel going for the win earlier today?
Heck yeah, absolutely. First of all, because he's a Titans coach. No, I'm just kidding. I won't be that shallow about it. But think about it. I mean, no one of them wants to tie. We've seen a lot of tie situations, a lot of overtime situations this year. You know what I mean? Because ultimately, everyone's scared to lose. But who's willing to do what it takes to win? There's a difference there. I think with Mike Vrabel coming from his old school philosophy and coming from the tree of Bill Belichick, he doesn't want to not lose. He wants to go out there and win. And that's ultimately why he made the decision. I was trying to not go all Herm Edwards and you play to win the game. But ultimately, they're saying the same thing.
Well, that's exactly what it is, isn't it? Are the Chargers in the perfect spot because they're 5-2 and no one's talking about them because of Kansas City?
Well, shoot, Melvin Gordon's been doing a heck of a job, hasn't he? And every time I keep hearing the word Philip Rivers, what precedes that? Future Hall of Famer. You know what I mean? I think that he's really kind of, you know, taking on that mantra. He is the old man river now of the entire West Coast. And he gets to play in the backyard of Los Angeles. You know what I mean? So he's not the favorite son of L.A. by any stretch, nor is his franchise. But they're playing like it. And he's got some familiar faces around him to boot, too. So, shoot, what happens when they get Joey Bosa really hitting on all cylinders? I mean, the guy's just gotten back and has already been an impact player, but he and Melvin Ingram have been doing a phenomenal job. And if Melvin Gordon is the guy that we can see them really answering the bell when it comes to running the football, shoot. Phillip Rivers ain't got nothing to worry about.
Brad Hopkins joining us on the show, current host, SiriusXM NFL, also former Oiler and Titan. Well, they just moved. Now, you dealt with a team that was moving. I don't know if distraction's the word. How difficult is it to deal with it?
Oh, that's, well, I will say this. Our situation was unique in that we were moving from the fourth largest market kid to like the 35th largest market. You know what I mean? Nashville did have celebrity, but it just weren't athletes. You know, they were more musicians, artists, things of that nature. But here's a situation where you have St. Louis, you have San Diego, moving to the second largest media market in the country, you know what I mean? Which therefore goes a little a parceling of all the things that you can do in beautiful Southern California, you know? But at the end of the day, sometimes that change, sometimes just doing something different in your routine, it can spark something that you never saw, you know what I mean? Maybe even within yourself. So I think that, you know, just maybe embarking on a new situation sometimes can be fun, it can be exciting, it can be anxious, you know. But at the end of the day, as long as they get the support that they need, both of these franchises are doing pretty well for themselves, and they're not even really in their new digs yet.
If you were Jacksonville, would you trade for a quarterback right now?
Man, people are so quick to just dump on Blake Bortles, aren't they? But Cody Kessler,
it's hard not to.
Well,
gosh,
I know. Oh, but there's a quarterback out there, isn't there? He's available. Been in playoff situations, you know what I'm saying? Won some games. Matter of fact, he went to Gillette Stadium and won as a second-year guy. So he's out there if you're looking for him. Guess who's willing to pull the trigger?
Wait a minute. Who are you talking about?
I don't know. Who am I talking about?
Name names, Brad. I'm not, because for a second I thought you were going to say Eli, and I was going to whoop it up.
The same guy that Malcolm Jenkins and Eric Reed got in the fight over today in the pregame.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah, you know where I stand on it, and that makes sense. But here we are. Brad Hopkins joining us on the show.
Did you just say that Eli was an option?
I thought so.
Yet. I mean,
well, wait, no, hold on. If you're Tom Coughlin, Blake Bortles is just, and I know his teammates seem to like him from what we hear, but it's not cutting the mustard right now. And at 3-4, you got Houston going right past you here. This is difficult. This is becoming untenable at this position here. You got to strike while the iron's hot. And you're thinking, okay, if you take a young QB, then that all of a sudden resets the clock. Now you got yourself a problem over here. I don't know. I don't think it's the craziest notion. Maybe you think it's crazy. Talk me out of it.
I understand a relationship. I understand when you have a level of success with two people that understand each other, it seems easier to kind of make that relationship work. But let me ask you this, Ken. You think that ODB acts out like this if Tom Coughlin is still holding that job that he held up there in New York?
No.
No, absolutely not. So there needs to be some stepping up as far as corralling the toxic environment that seems to surround this team. Because at the end of the day, their issues are not talent. Their issues are between the ears. Or the ear holes, if you will, when they get on the football field. You know what I'm saying? They need to be on the same page. And you can't have your star players talking about your other star players on national television. That never works out good. Neither does airing your dirty laundry to people that only understand half of what you're saying. You understand? So I think that when you look at some of the things that are going on around Eli Manning, it's easy to lay blame to the quarterback because he is the most identifiable person on the football field. But at the end of the day, there are 10 other dudes that are out there with him, all right?
I totally agree. Brad, you make a ton of sense. Unfortunately, I got to cut it short now. I appreciate the time, my friend. I will have you again if you're open to it. Thank you very much.
Until next time, buddy. Take care.
Brad Hopkins joining us on the show. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Got some great news for you. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico.com. Go to Geico.com. In 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Hickey, do I have you now?
Is it working now?
Yes, it's working now.
Woo!
Did you agree with me about what I said about Stephen Avery?
Yes, I said there. I have absolutely no complaints or any issues with what you said earlier.
Dalawisio went crazy back in the day. Stu did too. They thought that Stephen Avery was innocent.
I thought he was innocent as well.
You throw a cat in a bonfire, the dude's guilty. Coming up next, you can't have it both ways. You want to coach with stones? You can't yell at him for making a call that takes stones.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.